Let me walk you through something today that I think gets talked about constantly and explained almost never. The independent broker-dealer move, not the brochure version, the timeline. What actually happens in order when an advisor leaves an employee firm and goes independent under a broker-dealer? Quick reminder before we start, we are not a broker-dealer, and this show is educational. Nothing here is individualized advice. All right, so picture an advisor. Call her Sarah. 15 years at an employee firm, a book she built herself, and that quiet question that shows up on a Sunday night. Is this all there is? Month one for Sarah isn't a resignation. It's homework, done quietly. She's reading her employment agreement for the first time in years. What does it say about solicitation? What does it say about what information she can take? And here's the thing most advisors get wrong. She shouldn't be interpreting that language herself, and neither should a recruiter. That's a job for a securities attorney. Most advisors making their first move have never hired one. The good ones tell you the same thing. The reading you do before you resign matters more than anything you do after. Months two and three, she's taking meetings, and what she learns surprises her. Going independent isn't one decision. It's a stack of them. Which broker-dealer, which supervisory setup, maybe directly under the home office, maybe under a big branch office, what the industry calls an OSJ, an office of supervisory jurisdiction, which would supervise her business and support her in exchange for a piece of the economics. Whether she keeps her commission business under the broker-dealer and runs her fee business through an RIA on the side, the hybrid setup. Every one of those choices changes what her practice looks like. And somewhere in month three, she has the money conversation properly. The payout number that got her attention in the first place, she finally prices what it buys. Because as an employee, her firm paid the rent, the staff, the technology, the insurance. As an owner, those bills come to her. The honest comparison was never the headline percentage. It's what's left after her practice pays its own way. For some advisors, that math is wonderful. For others, it isn't. The point is to do it before resigning, not after. Month four, she decides. And now the work goes underground for a while. An entity gets formed. Office space gets sorted, maybe physical, maybe not. The transition team at her new firm starts building the account paperwork in the background. She's still serving clients at her old firm, carefully, properly, exactly as before. Then comes resignation day, and it's choreographed. She resigns, usually in the morning. Her registrations begin moving to the new firm the same day. And the clock starts on the part nobody romanticizes, reaching out to clients within whatever rules her agreements and the attorney set, and asking them one by one to come with her. Here's what surprises almost everyone about the weeks that follow. The move succeeds or fails in the paperwork. Every client who says yes has accounts to transfer, forms, signatures, follow-ups, transfer timelines she doesn't fully control. For a month or two, Sarah's job is part advisor, part project manager, part reassurance machine. The advisors who prepared for that stretch, staffed for it, scripted their communication, warned their families about it, keep the relationships they earned. The ones who assumed it would be a week of DocuSign do not enjoy that month. And then somewhere around month six, it goes quiet. The accounts are mostly over, the office runs, and Sarah discovers the actual product she bought, Mondays that belong to her. Also invoices that belong to her. Supervision didn't vanish. Her broker-dealer still reviews her business, still approves her marketing, but the relationship changed shape. She's not an employee inside someone's brand anymore. She's an owner operating under a firm's umbrella. Was it worth it? That depends entirely on which advisor you are. If what she wanted was ownership, something she runs, something she could one day sell, then yes, and she'd tell you she should have done it sooner. If what she actually wanted was just a different manager, then she traded a manager for a landlord, a payroll, and a compliance calendar. The label independent doesn't decide that. What she wanted decides it. So if that Sunday night question has been visiting you, is this all there is? Don't start with a recruiter's spreadsheet. Start with the quiet homework. Read your agreements with the right attorney in your corner. Price the move honestly. And if it helps to pressure test where you actually stand, we built a short readiness assessment that does exactly that. It takes about 2 minutes, and it's on our website. One more time for the record. We're not a broker dealer. This is education, not individualized advice. Talk to a securities attorney before you act on any of it. See you on the next one. And if you're weighing a move, we help advisors find the right home. It's on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com.